People sometimes ask me if I became the Ron Van Dam Show announcer because I love what Ron does and I love his comedy. Well, no. It's because Ron broke me out of a Tijuana prison back in 82 and smuggled me across the border in a suitcase in the trunk of a Yugo. And I still owe him for that. Muchas gracias, mi amigo. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh, boy.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program of enormous proportions. The dimensions are huge. I am Ron Van Dam. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Those two put together make an entire idea. And let's see what happens today. My God, are you in for a ride? These are the last days of July. After these days, there's no more July. It's over. It embarks upon August, which is the worst month of the year. It's too hot. Nothing's happening. It's ridiculous. It's the month before things start up again for the fall. It's just what's... It's so hot. I sat in my backyard yesterday and I was sweating like a pig. And actually, I don't know if pigs sweat. I've never been close enough to a pig to watch it sweat. That's the phrase, so I assume they do. I actually used to know somebody who owned a potbelly pig. And you know what? There's no reason to shame them like that. There really isn't. All right, so they have a pot belly. So they get a little fat when they get older. That's no reason to call an entire species of pig pot bellies. Come on, that's nasty. But this pig was adorable. Had a name for it. The name of the pig was Jane. I assume because it was a female pig. I hope so. Well, I don't know. But, the pig was adorable. The pig was absolutely adorable. It looked like a large, hairless dog. But oinked a lot, but it was adorable. And I want one. I want a pot-bellied pig. I do. I want one. I know. I want to be able to walk my pig. that sounded wrong, didn't it? Ron, what are you going to do later today? I'm going to walk my pig, if you know what I mean. Yeah, I want to walk my pig in public, you know, because people walk their dogs. I want to walk my pig. Yeah. Anyway, welcome to the pro. Ron, this is going nowhere. It's going nowhere. Don't even bother. It's going nowhere. How are you? Welcome to the program. I hope you're doing okay. Hey, someone's a friend of mine. Well, let me clarify. Someone I know said to me yesterday, well, Ron, you know, how would it feel if you went through that? What if the shoe was on the other foot? And I thought, I don't understand what that expression means. The shoe's on the other foot. What if the shoe was on the other foot? Then it wouldn't fit. What are you talking about? You can't take a shoe off of your left foot and put it on your right foot. It won't fit. The meaning of the phrase is that, well, if you're in somebody else's shoes, you would understand what's going on. I don't want to wear anybody else's shoes, and I'm not going to understand what's going on. My immediate reaction will be, get these shoes off of me. Ew. I don't go bowling. I don't bowl for a number of reasons. Well, one is that I don't drink beer. And secondly, I will not bowl because I have to wear somebody else's shoes. Now, I haven't been to a bowling alley or a bowling facility for about 5 years now. And I don't know how they handle the bowling shoes, but I am not putting my tender little feet into shoes that somebody else just wore. When I was growing up, the only way that they cleaned these shoes was to sprinkle talcum powder into the shoe, and that apparently automatically cleans the shoe inside. I don't think so. Well, is this an idea by Johnson & Johnson? Are people walking around with foot cancer because Johnson & Johnson used too much talcum powder in the shoe? Come on. I won't go bowling. I will not stick my... I will not put anybody else's pants on. And I will not put anybody else's shoes on. I don't care. And thank God I don't have a foot fetish. And when my spouse isn't home, I put her shoes on. Thank God I don't have that problem. Because that's disgusting. I will not put my feet into somebody else's shoes. So no, I don't understand what you're going through. Anyway. Bowling alley's weird, man. Yeah. Do you ever just walk into a bowling alley for the hell of it and just stand there and stare? It's a microcosm of wonderment. I don't quite understand it. Here's what happens in a bowling alley. There's a bunch of people kind of all dressed the same, and they're throwing balls down a hardwood floor and knocking pins over, and they're paying to do that. Why would you do something like that? The only good thing about bowling is it's the only sport in which the ball comes back to you. I love that. That's the only reason I ever considered bowling at all, is because the ball comes to you. It's the only sport. Did you ever play tennis? You're not playing tennis. You're chasing balls. That's all you're doing. You're chasing balls. And the worse the other player is, the more ball chasing you're going to do. Now, I don't like that. It's the same with baseball. Someone hits the ball and you got to go running after it. That's the idea of the game. Look, someone hit the ball. They're running to first base. Quick, chase the ball down. No, I don't go chasing balls. I'm not a freaking dog. Basketball, soccer, ball's always going out of bounds. Stop everything. The ball is out of bounds. Stop running around. Stop. Just stop. Everybody stop. It's out of bounds. Just stop. I can't handle that, man. Golf? Are you serious? You take a stick and you hit a tiny little ball off of a plastic stick. And what do? You go chasing it. You go chasing it. You get all your clubs together, put them over your shoulder, and go find your ball. Where's my ball? Jock, did you see my balls? Where's my ball? And then they have, it's supposed to be great exercise. You're doing a lot of walking. No, they have golf carts now. But you still can't find your ball. Now you're driving a golf cart in order to recover your ball. Sports is nothing but ball chasing. Except for bowling. The ball comes to you. But watch your fingers. They could get smashed in the ball return. Every time I see people bowling, I always wonder Is that ball going to slip out of that little three-fingered hold that you have on that ball and crush your toes? I don't know. And if someone was throwing a heavy ball on my hardwood floor, I would freak out. Hey, that's my good hardwood floor. You don't throw balls on it. I'd freak out. I would freak out. Then they have bowling tournaments. Oh yeah, you get a team together, and you're on a team, and this is when you start getting into bowling in a very obsessive manner. You actually go out and you get your own ball. Now you know they have racks and racks of heavy marble balls at a bowling alley. But for some reason, when you become obsessed with bowling, you'll actually go out and buy your own ball. There are people that own their own balls. Yep. And not only do you buy your own ball, but you dress the same as the other members of your team. You know, what are we going to call ourselves? And let's all dress the same. That would be fun. Let's get bowling shirts. We're going to put our names on the back of the shirt, Bob and Ted and Frank. And on the front of the shirt, it'll say the name of our team, the Rolling Bastards. Come on, Bob. Let's become the Rolling Bastards. Do you want us to put Bob or Robert on the back of the shirt? You think about it. You think about it. We're gonna play another team, the Rolling Bastards, and then when you're playing, they have a projection screen above the alley that shows everybody in the building how much you suck at bowling. Hey, look at everybody. It's not a widescreen TV. No, it's not a movie. It's the sheet of paper. It's my scoring sheet. And look at me as I score myself in bowling. Hey, everybody, look. You know, it'd be fun. Just go to a bowling alley where they have the projected thing on the wall over the alley, and just look at that, and then go up to the guy who's bowling and say, "Hey, you suck. You suck, man. You suck. You're projecting you suck. Wow, you suck." Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Especially when they're drinking beer, they get a little belligerent. You know. Bowling's an amazing place. Yeah. It's not a pretty building. It looks like an airplane hangar. They're not pretty places. Apparently, bowling isn't enough for these locations. They also have to, on the side of the building, there's a separate section with pool tables. You know, yeah, pool tables. They go from gigantic, big, heavy balls to tiny, tiny little balls on a carpet. What are you going to do in that building? Well, I could get a big ball and throw it on a hardwood floor, or I could have little balls and hit them with a stick around carpeting. What's it going to be? And then there's another section in the bowling alley, and those are video games. They're video games. So it's a potpourri of crazy stuff. And then they also usually have a tiny little restaurant where they have nothing but odd hamburgers and maybe a hot dog and maybe a chicken salad sandwich. And that's the bowling alley, man. And it's very, very popular. But I haven't been to one in a long time. I don't know if it's changed at all. Sometimes I'll see parents bring their kids to bowling alleys, and I cringe. Hey, you got a little child with a 200-pound ball hanging off of their three tiny little fingers. This is a recipe for disaster. But everybody seems to be having a good time in a bowling alley. I don't want to tell you how old I am because you can basically just count my rings. But when I was younger, bowling with my friends, again, bowling with people that I knew, was something that we did on a Saturday. And I remember each game was 90 cents. I remember 90 cents for some reason. That monetary amount sticks in my head. And every kid those days had 90 cents. And we would play maybe two or three games, and that would be like $2.70. And it was a good cheap game. When I went bowling 5 years ago, I walked up to the bowling counter. This is where they have all the shoes in all different sizes. Be careful of the size 6 or the size 9, because the only differential between the two is a line under the 6 or on top of the 9 or something like that. But there's like shoes. It's like bigger than a shoe store. It's used shoes. And there's always a person behind it, usually a bald guy with skin problems. Well, you'd have skin problems too if you were like just flashing talcum powder all over the place. Can you imagine? These people must have, through the years, developed some type of lung cancer, because all they did was just shake talcum powder into shoes and the talcum powder go flying everywhere. This poor guy, they had no idea. Johnson & Johnson said nothing about that problem. So he'd walk up to the guy. I said, 5 years ago, I walked up to the guy and I said, yeah, I'd like to bowl and I'll do like three games. Here's $2.70. And he said, what is that, a down payment for the shoe? What are you talking about? I said, yeah. I said, well, yeah, like three games. Isn't it 90 cents a game? Try $10 a game. $10 a game. Now, I don't remember if it was exactly 10 or 50 or what. All I know is that the amount that each game cost blew my socks off, which made it easier for me to rent the shoes. Shoe rental? Seriously? I'm going to be renting shoes? Why am I putting on special shoes? What is it, to protect your hardwood floor? People are throwing 100-pound balls flying onto the hardwood floor, and you're concerned about my feet scratching your floor? What are you talking about? I can understand not letting somebody wear cleats on your hardwood floor, but why must they wear these special shoes when you're abusing the floor by having people throw large balls on it? It just doesn't make sense. This particular bowling place on Friday nights, I think it was, maybe it was Thursday nights, I don't remember the night, had psychedelic bowling, and I said, I don't understand what. Well, so I said to the guy, what the hell is what is psychedelic bowling night? And he said, oh, we lower the lights. I said, how do you lower fluorescent lights? He says, well, we turn the lights off and we put on like strobe lights and colored lights, and then we play Pink Floyd music in the background or ZZ Top. It's a great bowling experience. Yes. How can I heighten my bowling experience? I'll go to psychedelic bowling night. Are you freaking kidding me? I don't know. I don't know anymore. Hello, I don't know. Anyway, you've just listened to a show where a guy talked about bowling for nearly half an hour. I don't know what you want to do with your life at this point, But thank you very much for listening. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, this is interesting here. When we come back, I'm going to talk to a doctor who claims that women, after a certain age, sex becomes painful for them. And depending on who you're having sex with, it can be painful all the time. Oh, yeah. Psychologically painful. Honey, do you want to have sex tonight? Oh, God, no. I have a headache, okay? That's painful sex. I mean, why do people turn off the lights and lower the lights when they have sex? It's so you don't see who you're having sex with. That's painful. But seriously, it can become physically painful for many women at a stage in their lives, and men don't get that at all. They don't. Hey, men, if the shoe was on the other foot, ooh, wow! Did you lead up on that for 20 minutes just so you could introduce the segment, Ron? Well, possibly did. And of course, when we're talking about sex, we don't discuss it with anybody, nor our doctors or anything like that. So, let's what better place to discuss it than here? You know what I'm saying? So anyway, all right, we're going to do that momentarily. But before we do, there's this:
give the gift that says "I love you," the gift that says "Happy birthday," the gift that says "Get well soon." The gift that says, "You're the reason I went into the priesthood." The gift that says, "Congratulations on not getting indicted." The gift that says, "I want to cover you in warm chocolate pudding." The gift that says, "Good luck in clown college." The gift that says, "Thanks for removing my unsightly wart." The gift that says, "Sorry about giving you food poisoning." The gift that says, "I'll see you in hell." The gift that says, "Remember the good times we had in prison." The gift that says, "I want to make sweet love to you on the white sand beaches of Rio while your hot cousin watches." The gift that says, "Thank you for the kidney." The gift that says, "You deserve all the best, but this will have to do." The gift that says, "Thanks, Jesus." Whatever you want to say, you can say it beautifully with a timeless gift from Phyllis Gorman's House of Macaroni Art on Route 94 just past the Rotary, across from Sweaty Palmer's Adult Emporium.
And I'm speaking to Dr. Donica Moore. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to speak to you today. Okay. And we're talking about the sexual health issues that affect women over 50, which kind of means it would affect the men, too. Let's talk about that.
Well, absolutely. There are many changes that a woman's body goes through after menopause. And, of course, with menopause, the average age in the United States is 51. But that means some women go into menopause much earlier and some women go into menopause later. Hot flashes have become news flashes over the past couple of decades. Yeah. So women have those symptoms pretty well covered. However, there are many other symptoms of menopause that we don't generally talk about in the news, and particularly painful sex after menopause. Hmm. This is a condition that affects about half of all menopausal women, so that's about 32 million women in the United States.
Right.
So it's fairly common, and this is one of the last taboo areas that women are very reluctant to talk about, not only with their doctors, but also with their partners.
Yeah.
So this is important for women to be aware of, as well as their partners to be aware of.
Interesting. I'm going to assume that it's never discussed with their partners. I mean, I guess there's one or two women that would, but for the most part, I guess there'd be no point in them even mentioning it, even though they may be suffering through it. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think that is accurate. It might be more like three or four women do discuss it. But one of the issues is that women have been disparaged over the years with this, you know, "Not tonight, honey, I have a headache" kind of thing.
Yeah.
And obviously, 50 Shades of Grey to the contrary, if sex is painful, most women are not going to be really that interested in engaging in it again.
Yeah.
Women are reluctant to talk about it for a whole myriad of reasons, not only the taboo, but there's guilt, there's shame, there's blame. They don't want to feel like, or they don't want their partners to feel like they're blaming them.
Yeah.
And especially if you've been in a longer-term relationship, you know, all of a sudden there's this change. How did this happen? But it doesn't go from being totally fine one day to being totally painful the next. It's a gradual change. And women may not realize, and certainly men don't realize, that these are a result of normal age-related changes that happen to the vaginal tissues as a result of the decreased estrogen that comes along with menopause. You know, menopause means you're not having your period anymore.
Right.
But the reason for that is your body is just not producing enough estrogen.
Yeah.
And that can affect all of the tissues in your body.
Now, I mean, men might be able to relate to it in a totally different manner because obviously there's pain involved in what a woman goes through, but a man gets erectile dysfunction, which is not a painful situation, but a psychologically embarrassing one. And they, I guess in the same numbers, wouldn't ever mention that to their partner unless it becomes obvious.
Well, I think in that case, it's very obvious to the partner. You may not know this, but some women, I don't know any of them, but some women actually fake response during sex.
Get out.
So their partners...
It's true. God.
It's a secret. I'm violating the sisterhood by telling you this.
I had no idea.
But so some partners really may not be aware. The good news is that by talking to your physician, there are treatment options available. And this is another reason women don't go to their doctors, because they think they know what all the options are, and they haven't been successful. So the good news is that there are options that are non-estrogen. There's now an option called Osfina, which is a non-estrogen oral pill, which can not only treat the symptoms of this problem, which is called dyspareunia, or painful sex after menopause, but it can repair and rebuild the vaginal tissue changes that are as a result of menopause.
Is the pain come from the irritation of the friction, or is it a muscle pain? What is it from?
That's a great question. No, it is from the irritation. What happens in menopause, you know, and over the first couple of years, is there are changes in the vaginal pH and also in two types of cells in the vaginal wall, the superficial cells and the parabasal cells. And the way I like to explain it to women is we're all very aware of menopausal changes that affect the skin on our faces. Those similar changes are actually in the tissues of the vagina as well. So the tissues become what we call more friable, which is just a medical fancy schmancy word for more easily irritated. And the tissue actually thins. Most women refer to this as vaginal dryness, but it's actually much more involved than that. It's not just a dryness situation that just a lubricant could usually heal.
Okay. So a lubricant...
It's beyond that.
All right, I got you.
But for some women, a lubricant may be a good start, but lubricants don't do anything to repair or rebuild the tissues.
Ouch. Wow, I had no idea. Let me ask you a question a little bit off the subject. I know some young ladies who have hot flashes in their 20s and early 30s. Is that normal?
There are many things that can cause hot flashes at any age, but it's never quote-unquote normal. Just because something is common doesn't mean it's normal, but in their 20s and 30s, that is not common. Another thing that many women unfortunately don't know till it's too late is there is a form of menopause called premature ovarian failure that can affect women for a number of reasons under 40.
Okay.
They need to see their doctors right away. Now, it may not be that. You can also get hot flashes from the flu or any kind of infection or even thyroid problems. Certain medications can also cause hot flashes.
Okay.
So usually when we hear about a symptom, we try to evaluate the most common reasons first. But sometimes it's, you know, something totally unrelated.
Okay.
But if they're having hot flashes in their 20s and 30s, they definitely need to go see their doctor.
We're running a little short of time, I think, but I do want to get through what we were talking about originally, what you were talking about originally. Are women not even talking about it to their friends or their doctors?
Well, women are notoriously good at talking to their girlfriends about just about everything,
right.
But this seems to be the last taboo.
Oh.
I would like to encourage women to talk to their girlfriends, talk to if they're having these problems, And one way is to say, you know, I heard this discussion on the Ron Van Dam show today.
Yes.
And I never knew this. Did you know this? Of course, they can go for more information. They can go to painfulsexaftermenopause.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if Ospina is recommended by their doctor, they can get a savings card there. But of course, the most important person for a woman to talk to if she's having any unusual or uncomfortable symptoms with sex or menopause or anything else is to her personal physician.
Well, that'll do it for me today. Hope I could help out in some small way. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new program. Please join me then. Until that time comes, please get vaccinated, and I wish you peace.